Welcome back to Headline News with Resistance Chicks. We're your hosts, Leah and Michelle. It's March 10th, which means it's the day before Leah's birthday.
Woo.
Happy early birthday
yep.
to the birthday girl. So for your birthday, you're getting a financial collapse, looks like. Congratulations.
I
Look
know.
What you won. A new, not car, or expensive car. So we're not going to get into that too much on our Brighteon show tonight. You'll have to tune in on our Rumble channel for that afterwards. But tonight, we have a lot that we can get into. Tucker Carlson has been blowing it up with the January 6th footage.
Yeah, you guys, the QAnon shaman,
Jacob Chansley,
has a 4-year sentence. He's been serving it for close to 3 years now, I guess.
Is
that it? And he was wrongfully imprisoned. And now we have the video to show you.
Not just that, but there's so much more. I'm really proud of Tucker for going at this. So we're going to cover that. We've got the Twitter file reporters being grilled on Capitol Hill. That's Freudian slip there. And so much more coming up right after these messages. Don't miss it. You're not going to want to miss the Capitol Hill.
The global currency collapse will wipe out the dollar and many other assets. And the only things that will maintain value during the global debt reset are those with intrinsic value that do not require governments, corporations, or markets to make good on their obligations. At the top of this list of intrinsic assets is physical gold and silver. These precious metals have outlasted every failed civilization and government in human history. And they are non-digital, which means they still hold value even if the power grid fails. The Treasure Island Coins and Precious Metals Company is my go-to source for physical precious metals that are delivered securely and discreetly into your hands. Visit BrighteonMetals.com to check their live pricing and in-stock coins and bars. Find out why they are my trusted source for physical metals and why they're the official sponsor of Brighteon.tv. BrighteonMetals.com.
With so much of the world's current food supply consisting of dirty, contaminated, genetically modified foods that may have been grown using herbicides and pesticides, increased scrutiny over what you put in your body is of the utmost importance. Even supposedly organic foods found on most grocery store shelves may contain toxic substances, chemicals, and other additives that can be harmful to your health. That's why here at BrighteonStore.com, we subject all our in-house products to extensive lab testing for glyphosate, heavy metals, and microbiology using our state-of-the-art spectrometry equipment to ensure the highest quality of cleanliness and purity. Support your health and this free speech platform by shopping at BrighteonStore.com today.
Okay, we're back, and we are going to get your mind out of the pooper. Actually, no, I'm sorry. We will be in the pooper.
We're in the pooper.
We are in the pooper.
We're stuck in
it. We are stuck in the pooper with Capitol Hill. With actually, our whole show is about Capitol Hill.
True.
The Capitol building.
Mm.
And the hearings this week that were held by the House, by the Republicans in the House. They had the reporters who were brought on by Elon Musk to go over these internal Twitter files where we saw the FBI, the government, asking Twitter to censor people.
Exactly.
And the Democrats came with their boxing gloves. They were ready to hit these reporters, so-called reporters. I got a clip for you guys there later on. But I really want to dive straight into Tucker Carlson and his
expose
this week on January 6th. Now, I know a lot of you, I've heard from you, where are the other videos? We want to see more. Yes, I want to see more too.
And we've been tuning in live every night this week.
I felt like he really did focus in on the QAnon shaman and his innocence, maybe to a fault, but but I don't think so, because here's the thing. I think that he represents
all of the other ones.
All of the other ones. And the video that I have for you right now, maybe you've seen it, maybe you haven't. This guy is completely innocent.
Yeah.
And he pled guilty because all these January 6ers they were facing 15, 20 years in jail without a plea.
They were not given exculpatory evidence, which right. there are so many constitutional violations here. I hope he sues the U.S. government for whatever. This whole entire thing has been a sham from the beginning. So they had to. Honestly, I don't blame them for having pleading guilty, right? So let's check out this first clip from Tucker on Jacob Chansley.
We're going to get inside with footage that shows you what was actually happening inside the Capitol. The footage does not show an insurrection or a riot in progress. Instead, it shows police escorting protesters through the building, including the now infamous QAnon shaman. Watch. These are the pictures you've seen of January 6th. They're familiar because they've been playing on a loop on every media outlet in America for the last 2 years. There's a reason for that. But it turns out there's quite a bit of video you haven't seen. And that video tells a very different story about what happened unders again and again. But the overwhelming majority weren't. They were peaceful, they were orderly and meek. These were not insurrectionists, they were sightseers. Footage from inside the Capitol overturns the story you've heard about January 6th. Protesters queue up in neat little lines. They give each other tours outside the speaker's office. They take cheerful selfies and they smile. They're not destroying the Capitol, they obviously revere the Capitol.
Let them silence your voices.
After the rally, they walked down Pennsylvania Avenue, where organizers had secured a federal permit to hold a legal rally on the grounds of the Capitol.
I know that everyone here will soon be marching over to the Capitol building to peacefully and patriotically make your voices heard.
Once at the Capitol building, things began to get chaotic. Capitol police officers fired tear gas into the crowd. A few at the front of the herd broke windows. Someone opened the doors, and many hundreds of others just walked in.
They're going to make that the story.
Of course, they did make it the story. And at the center of it, the single most famous person arrested that day was a Navy veteran from Arizona called Jacob Chansley, often referred to as the QAnon shaman.
The so-called QAnon shaman.
QAnon shaman.
Someone named Q shaman.
Jacob Chansley became the face of January 6th, a dangerous conspiracy theorist dressed in outlandish costume who led the violent insurrection to overthrow American democracy. For these crimes, Chansley was sentenced to nearly 4 years in prison, far more time than many violent criminals now receive. What did Jacob Chansley do to receive this punishment? To this day, there is dispute over how Chansley got into the Capitol building. But according to our review of the internal surveillance video, it is very clear what happened once he got inside. Virtually every moment of his time inside the Capitol was caught on tape. The tapes show that Capitol Police never stopped Jacob Chansley. They helped him. They acted as his tour guides. Here's video of Chansley in the Senate chamber. Capitol Police officers take him to multiple entrances and even try to open locked doors for him. We counted at least 9 officers who were within touching distance of unarmed Jacob Chansley. Not one of them even tried to slow him down. Chansley understood that Capitol Police were his allies. Video shows him giving thanks for them in a prayer on the floor of the Senate. Watch.
Thank you, Heavenly Father, for paying the inspiration needed to these police officers to allow us in this building.
Contrast the reality of what Jacob Chansley did in the Capitol building on January 6th, the indisputable facts recorded on video, some of which has never before been seen, with the depiction of Jacob Chansley that you've seen in the media for more than 2 years. He's a terrorist, they said. He should be killed.
Shoot him. Shoot him. Like, you burst into the United States, if he was dressed like bin Laden, would you have shot him?
Shoot him. Shoot him. It makes you wonder, who are the violent extremists here? Not Jacob Chansley. And the video proves that. But you would never have known from the media coverage.
The people sitting in the chairs need to be sitting in a jail cell.
Chansley is in a jail cell. He's been there for months. If he was in fact committing such a grave crime, why didn't the officers who were standing right next to him place him under arrest? Until now, no one could even prove that even happened. But it did.
By the way, this will be the front page of tomorrow's New York Post.
Donald Trump asked everybody to go home. So what are we going to do? We're going to obey
respect our landmarks. Respect the Capitol.
Let's get out of here, guys. That was an extra video that I added at the end. I just took a clip where at the end he had read Donald Trump's tweet that said, I would like everybody to disband and go home. And he's like, you guys, Donald Trump told us to disband and go home. Let's go home.
If this had been a violent insurrection to accomplish an overtaking of the government,
they didn't accomplish it.
Why would they leave?
And why would he say, Donald Trump told us to go home. Let's go home.
Right? They had seen weeks of BLM riots, thinking to themselves, well, if the left can get away with this, then why can't we get away with this? No one thought for a minute that they were going to be treated like terrorists, because those that had set fire to government buildings, churches, stores, looted, none of those people. They were in jail for like what, a couple of days, and then Kamala Harris gets funds to get them out?
Yeah, so during the riots in Washington, D.C., the BLM riots, over 188 officers were injured. And during the January 6 hearings, we were told that this was the greatest attack on democracy we've ever seen. And it was about 100 officers were injured. No officer should ever be injured. Okay.
Exactly.
But to say that it was the greatest, this is a rewriting of events.
Now, for those of you that maybe you get all of your news from Resistance Chicks, and I'm so glad that you do, you might have missed this week the backlash and the response of Tucker's show. Chuck Schumer, even Mitch McConnell, all of these people, regardless of party line, have come out essentially saying that what happened on January 6th was the greatest violent attack.
Since the Civil War.
Do you know how many things have happened since the Civil War, by the way?
But do you know what happened during the Civil War?
To compare this, and news outlets have been running with that statement.
Yeah.
And so then Chuck Schumer gets on the floor and he is, you know, berating Rupert Murdoch, saying that he needs to pull Tucker Carlson from the Fox News network because he's lying to the American people about what happened on January 6th. I've seen insurrections before. I mean, not personally in my personal life, but I've seen footage of insurrections. Nowhere in any comparison from any sound-minded person would you be able to compare what happened at January 6th to an actual insurrection.
Yeah.
Actually, as a matter of fact, what they have done in Brazil has been very close to what one would call an insurrection. Yeah. They are trying to literally take over or take back their government from a false election. We did not do that. No one did that at the Capitol on January 6th. And Tucker Carlson's footage is so far confirming that.
Yeah. And, you know, just say your prayers for justice to be done for these guys, because how many more videos are there that are showing Capitol Police letting people in? And the biggest key here is that 9 police officers were around Jacob Chansley and were basically like, hey, we're glad to have you.
And then Jacob's voice, once he actually got into the rotunda, or not rotunda, into the Senate floor, the congressional floor there, what he said was, bless these police officers who have let us in to the Capitol. Yeah. It was very apparent by everyone there that the police officers let everyone in.
This was a setup by our own government. And you're not supposed to make conclusions. You guys, they were trying to get the QAnon shaman into that building for the shot.
Exactly.
That was their goal. And
those officers, I think they may be damned to hell unless they repent.
I think there were four officers that committed suicide after the event.
Or were suicided.
You guys, I truly believe they were suicided. I truly believe that they were killed because they
were gonna say what happened.
You know, we let this happen, or they must have heard something. And I'm gonna show a clip for you now. We're gonna do 2 clips together, Ray Epps and Officer Brian Sitnick. Now, Tucker Carlson won't draw any conclusions because, you're not supposed to draw conclusions.
I'm gonna draw conclusions.
He died. He walked around perfectly healthy and fine. And then he mysteriously died of natural causes.
Yeah.
So I think it was either 4 or 5 officers died later. as a result of what happened to them. Officer Brian Sitnik voted for Trump. So I truly believe, you guys, this is the greatest conspiracy that our government has ever seen, and that our government Clintoned five officers to keep their mouths shut, because if it got out to the world that they set this up, which they obviously did, then this would be the end of the Democrat Party. Can we roll this next clip?
One of the enduring mysteries of January 6th is the role that intelligence and law enforcement agencies played in the events of that day. We know there was some number of undercover federal agents in the crowd at the Capitol. Officials have since admitted that under oath. But what exactly were they doing there? The January 6th committee worked hard to hide the answer to that question. We do know from contemporaneous videotape that a mysterious figure called Ray Epps encouraged the crowd to go into the Capitol. For some reason, Epps has never been indicted for that. But there's no question he did it.
We need to go into the Capitol!
Under public pressure, the January 6th committee finally interviewed Ray Epps. Epps told the committee that he never entered the Capitol and therefore never committed a crime. His text messages showed that at 2:12 p.m., he boasted to his nephew that he had, quote, orchestrated the protests at the Capitol. He admitted he helped get people there. Yet, curiously, congressional Democrats consider Ray Epps an ally, not an insurrectionist. Tonight, we can tell you that at the very least, Ray Epps lied in his sworn testimony to the January 6th committee. Epps testified that when he sent the text messages to his nephew, he had already left the Capitol grounds to return to his hotel room. That is not true. The surveillance footage we found shows that, in fact, Ray Epps remained at the Capitol for at least another half an hour. You're seeing that on your screen now. What was Epps doing there? We can't say, but we do know that he lied to investigators. The January 6th committee likely knew this too. Democrats had access to the same tape, yet they defended Ray Epps. No honest investigation would do that. Lied about the police officer they claimed to revere. If they were willing to do that, then their dishonesty knew no limits. And as you'll see in a moment, their dishonesty did know no limits. New surveillance video in just a minute, including new reporting on Ray Epps and what he was doing there and what he told investigators he was doing there and how it's contradicted by the video evidence. But first, to assess what we just saw, Charlie Hurt of The Washington Times joins us now. Charlie, thanks so much for coming on.
Great to see you.
So if you think and you know, you've really got a feel for Brian Sicknick, who's passed away. And you've got to wonder about anyone who knew, they knew that he was not murdered by the mob, but they've claimed it anyway for 2 years. And it takes a very low kind of person to do that, to lie about a man's death like that for political advantage. And this tape proves that's exactly what they did.
No, these people are truly sick. You think you know how sick they are, and then you see something like this, and you realize that there is truly nothing, no body, no event, nothing that they won't exploit. And as Joe Biden said,
exactly.
Oh no, this is also about white supremacy, and nobody comported themselves worse than the press did on this day, and of course
that's
in the years afterwards. And the best example of it is to look at the degree to which so many people in the press are so upset that you got the tapes and that you're going to release the tapes. I've never heard of this. I've never, in all of my life, I've never known a press that didn't want information to be released. That's what we have been fighting for since the invention of the printing press. And now we have all these people, they're so committed to sort of the big lie that the government tells, that they'll do anything, including denigrating the name of a good police officer and trying to hide the truth in order to sort of prop up this propaganda. And the deadly insurrection is one of them. The other one that they love to talk about is the armed insurrectionists. And I remember at the time asking reporters at the time, why do you keep calling these people armed insurrectionists when there's no evidence that anybody used any arms against it? And they said, well, they had flagpoles. So it's because people were walking around with American flags that made them armed insurrectionists.
I should say for our viewers who don't know, you've been in journalism all your life. Your father was a journalist. You grew up in this business. And I agree with you. It's shocking to see how thoroughly it's been perverted into what it is now.
To support the government.
right? Active defense of the people in charge. It's shocking. Charlie Hurt, appreciate it. Thank you.
Great to see you.
So the Epoch Times reported that McCarthy was interviewed by Breitbart. And in that interview, he was asked about if he was going to release these tapes to the public. He said, yes, they have to go through, they have to finish going through them all themselves for security purposes, for whatever. And then, yes, they will release them. I'm kind of waiting on, you know, I'm not trusting this man as far as I can throw him yet. However, multiple defendants from January 6th that are being held and their trials are still ongoing have asked for their trials to be delayed in light of the footage that has been released by Tucker. And McCarthy is supporting that these defendants should have the right to access this footage, it goes without saying, constitutionally, 100%, you have the right to exculpatory evidence. And here is the rub of it all. The January 6th committee knows of all of this footage, and they knew
still of the had it withheld. Of Jacob.
Yes.
They knew that those
all of those people on the committee should go to jail.
The judge in his case has to look at this tape and say, if you don't drop all the charges, which I believe all the charges should be dropped, then you should get a new trial. I mean, if you've got 9 police officers, how are you supposed to know that you're doing something wrong?
Exactly.
Police officers pull you over for speeding. One officer said, well, we were trying to de-escalate the situation. Well, you got 9 guys. How many officers does it take to go ahead and just take a guy down?
Exactly. If he was there to bring violence. Now, one other thing that has come out, remember, they're calling this an armed insurrection, but yeah. No one, to my knowledge, was actually armed inside the Capitol with a weapon.
No.
They had flagpoles.
Right.
They were viewing those as weapons. And again, it wouldn't be resistance chicks unless I brought this aspect up to it. The reason why they call it armed is because just walking around the Capitol with the United States flag is an affront to them. And it gives you spiritual weapon against their spiritual demonic forces.
So Tucker Carlson went on Glenn Beck's program, radio-wise. He called in. And Glenn Beck
called in?
Yeah, he called in. Well,
they arranged it. It wasn't like, hey, get surprised, I'm Tucker.
I don't think so. Okay. Yeah. So you called the January 6th committee members liars, said Glenn Beck, referring both to Carlson's commentary Monday and the committee members' promotion of the claim that Capitol Police Officer Brian Sicknick had been killed as a result of injuries sustained that day. Do you make that case that they're liars, that they just didn't, you know, fib a bit and eat around the corners? Or are these full-fledged liars? And Carlson said, well, that was the stunning part to me. I've been in Washington my whole life. My dad worked for the government, so I had a kind of root-level trust in the government. My default setting is they're not lying about anything. I never assumed that. So I was shocked to learn that they were lying intentionally. We have a very specific way of knowing that. The January 6th committee researchers looked at video. They bookmarked it. They left an electronic mark on the video they watched. So we know what they watched and when they watched it. He noted there is the video of Jacob Transley, of Ray Epps, of Brian Sicknick, and that we know that they watched them. That was not included in the report. That was never mentioned in their hearings. A year and a half, 1,000 witnesses, 850-page report, and this video, which overturns the story they're telling, proves it was a lie for Jacob Chansley, the so-called QAnon shaman. This lie proved life-changing. And then Chansley's lawyers actually went on Tucker Carlson and said he hadn't seen any of the newly released footage. So this is crazy. And, you know, knowing that the government lied and the fact that he has those timestamps, they watched the video. They know he walked around the Capitol and building, but they couldn't show you that. What they did here. And I know it's hard to even grasp, and you guys get this. They set up a narrative, okay, of crazy insurrectionists. Then they created the narrative hoping that people would join in. And people did join in, and they were so excited. That's why Nancy Pelosi was like, I've been waiting for this day. I've been waiting for this day. And she had her daughter filming a documentary. I've been waiting for Trump to get to the Capitol.
I'm going to punch him in the face.
You know? So they were waiting for this day. They
and
had
Trump
planned
never
this
made
whole
it to
day.
The Capitol. Trump was tipped off. What's unfortunate is that Trump wasn't able to get that tip to the people soon enough, right?
Yeah, and Carlson says about Liz Cheney. I just always assume she disagrees with me on issues. No, it turns out Liz Cheney is actually affirmatively a liar. She knew the information. She withheld it. And I think it's deeper than that. Her dad, Dick Cheney, was in on the most massive psyop that America had ever seen with the war in Iraq.
And 9/11.
Okay, and 9/11. So going in and overthrowing Saddam Hussein and getting us involved in this war on terror, she is a part of it. And it's like, it is a movie.
It is a movie. And what we're seeing is this continues to happen. So up next, we're going to show you a clip of Tulsi Gabbard exposing the fact that we bombed Nord Stream 2. And we're going to get into that right after this break. Don't go anywhere
Don't
because
go
we
anywhere.
Have so much more coming up on the other side of these awesome, awesome messages from Brighteon TV.
Many watching Brighteon TV will remember the fiery speech from Dr. Alan Keyes at the annual State Republican Dinner that ended in repeated standing ovations. Dr. Keyes has been an articulate and passionate spokesman for faith, convictions, and consistently strong enough to resist the tug of political convenience. Alan pierces through the ethical haze of our time and calls us to stand up for the truth, knowing that you cannot have the right to do wrong. Get your download of Our Character, Our Future, an audiobook by Dr. Alan Keyes, exclusive to the Brighteon TV audience. Dr. Alan Keyes personally read and recorded our exclusive audiobook version of his timeless essays in Our Character, Our Future for this very special promotion. You can order it by going to www.imtv.us and click on Special Offer. It's available at only $19.95 for a very limited time. You'll not only enjoy a tremendous savings, but you'll get an amazing piece of literature read by Dr. Alan Keyes himself. Get yours today. Go to www.imtv.us and get this Brighteon TV exclusive offer.
Satellite phones have been wiped out globally because of the supply chain collapse and war in Europe. But a truly amazing new option has emerged, the Bivy Stick, which allows you to send and receive text messages using almost any mobile device without relying on cell towers at all. In a world where war, riots, or a power grid failure can happen literally at any time, the Bivy Stick and its two-way satellite messaging gives you the power to reach loved ones, to send emergency messages, or request a rescue. And to use this device, you do not have to register your name, and you don't need to turn on location services or reveal your geographic location. The battery life is several days in duration, and you can easily recharge it using a small portable power bank. There are only about 20,000 Bivy Sticks that will be available in America this year. Get yours now while they're still available at SAT123.com. That's SAT123.com.
I like me some good news, Leah. So before we get to the we bombed Nord Stream 2 clip there, what good news do you have for the people?
Yeah, so Tennessee has been at the forefront of protecting your children from the transgender ideology and from mutilating children. And they have just signed into law a bill that will ban drag shows for minors.
Come
so
on.
You can't. So no, you don't get to. Men,
you don't get to watch full-grown men gyrating in women's clothing, in like little children. This is not okay.
And trans youth medical procedure. So Tennessee Republican Governor Bill Lee signed the legislation on Thursday, March 2nd. Adult cabaret performances in front of children and transgender medical treatment for minors have now been banned in Tennessee. And I think we covered this a little bit last week, but I didn't cover the drag show, drag queen shows for kids, which is so important. You know, I saw another clip today of a little girl. The thing about drag is you're supposed to dance for money, and it is a sexual thing. Like, don't tell me that all drag is a sexual sensual performance.
Is there an age limit on entering into a strip club?
Yeah.
Yes. These, even if they're not showing, and actually I've seen some drag queen story hour where you're seeing like full buttocks, right?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
You know what I mean? The idea isn't so much the nakedness as much as it is the provocateur, right? This is
provocative nature.
Thank you. The provocative nature of the dancing, it is sexual in nature.
And I like how they put it. It's a cabaret. I said, these are adult-themed entertainers, okay? and no, kids don't get, oh, we want kids in the adult thing. No, the reason you separate, you're not allowed to go into bars before you're 18. You can't drink till you're 21.
What if they had...
You can't go until you're 18.
What if they had for children, male and females, not just straight up people, coming in and they only removed some of their clothes, like down to like a swimsuit level, which is what the drag queen story hours do, right? And but they did the same dance as like pole dancing and all of that. What if that was going on in public schools? What if that was going on in like...
I think it is, but yeah. I know what you're talking
I'm
about.
Not sure that it really is. Yeah. I hope that it's not. Dear
so
Lord.
Thank you, Tennessee, for looking out for kids. All right. So moving on to this clip we've got for you with Tucker Carlson and Tulsi Gabbard about the Nord Stream pipeline. I hate the fact that, you know, we run with things because we know it's true. Like there was the lab leak from the lab. I'm COVID-19, and I'm fully convinced that it was purposeful. It wasn't like a leak.
We said that from day one.
It was planted. We saw the videos of like Asian women going around sick, touching computers and all kinds of weird stuff, going out buying all the masks. I think some of those videos on going out and buying the masks were to get people to want the masks, but, you know.
Right, because you see it going flying off the shelf, you're like, I need my mask. And so I need toilet paper.
With this war in Ukraine, we are perpetuating this. Our country is perpetuating this giant war in Ukraine that is causing economic distress across the whole world.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? This gas pipeline being blown up is an act of war. It was the energy line, basically, for Germany. And for our president to say, you know what, Germans, you don't need heat this winter.
That's an act of war. Sometimes you just got to tighten the belt buckle. You got to put on a couple extra layers.
And Biden said, if you guys keep using this, Biden, the administration were saying, Germany, if you keep buying this oil from or this natural gas from Russia, we're going to make sure that you can't. We're one way or another. So let's go ahead and roll this video here.
Haven't they been telling us for over a year that Russia's about to be defeated? Then why are we sending an ever-increasing amount of money and material to Ukraine? Could they be lying to us? And speaking of lying to us, remember they told us that Russia blew up its own pipeline? The New York Times told us, everyone told us that. Shut up, Putin defender, the Russians did it. Well, now they're admitting the Russians didn't do it, but we didn't do it either. Something called a pro-Ukrainian group blew up the Nord Stream pipeline and created the largest environmental disaster in human history. And also shafted our NATO allies in Western Europe. A pro-Ukrainian group. Okay. Tulsi Gabbard served in the Congress, ran for president. She joins us tonight. Congresswoman, thanks so much for coming on.
Thanks,
so
Tucker.
This is a pro-Ukrainian group that has the military prowess to blow up one of the world's most important pipelines, but we had the Biden administration had nothing to do with it. Is that the new lie that they're telling us?
Apparently so. It is so obvious at this point, Tucker, that the United States and NATO are responsible for this act of sabotage and act of war, attacking and destroying this Nord Stream pipeline. They've been lying to us all along about it. Now they've been busted. And so they're trying to sell us this absurd cover-up story where on the one hand, they're telling us, well, we have this new intelligence that shows us no Americans or Brits were involved in this attack. But then at the same time, we can't draw any conclusions from the intelligence on who actually did it because we don't have specific details on each of the members of this so-called pro-Ukrainian group. Like it's insanity for anybody who's paying attention to what they're saying. The reality is that they are responsible for this, and there are short-term and long-term serious implications for this action. It sets this precedent, Tucker, for countries like Russia, North Korea, Iran, and China to go ahead and launch these attacks and sabotage against critical infrastructure against other countries like gas pipelines, undersea cables, financial systems, satellites. The list goes on and on. Just imagine the kind of problems, to say the least, that would cause for us, the American people, and for the world.
But can I just ask a super dumb question? No one's ever answered it. So this pipeline fed Germany, which is the economic engine of Europe. Germany's the key player in NATO. We're all for NATO. We just wrecked the economy of our key NATO ally. If Germany blew up the Hoover Dam, would they still be our tight NATO ally? Like, doesn't NATO have to disintegrate after we get caught doing this?
You know, that's the thing here. I think a couple of points is the Biden administration, NATO, want us to believe that they want us to believe this cover-up story, first of all, which their cover-up story implies that the United States and NATO's military and intelligence agencies are so inept and incapable that nobody knows what was going on. Nobody saw this coming. But secondly, you're exactly right. this was an act of war, not just against Russia, but also against our ally, Germany.
Yeah.
Also, an act of war can only be declared by Congress, not by the President of the United States or anybody else. That clearly didn't happen. And that's where Biden needs to address the nation, tell us the whole truth about what went down, and Congress needs to exercise its oversight responsibilities to actually investigate this, to tell us the truth, get to the bottom of it, and to hold those responsible accountable.
Yeah. I mean, it's the craziest, most reckless thing I've ever seen in 50 years of sort of paying attention. Tulsi Gabbard, thank you so much for continuing to call attention.
You.
It's just unbelievable. No one is paying attention.
It really is.
It really is.
Not to mention the ecological disaster that happened when we did this. I mean, where are all the environmentalists?
Oh, I know. This was the biggest ecological, purposeful ecological mess besides what they did here in Ohio, East Palestine, right?
Yeah.
You know, it seems like our government likes to mess with everything, including social media. And thank God that Elon Musk did buy Twitter, because we are learning some stuff. I do not trust him as far as I could throw him.
But we are learning
some things. And I'm glad that there was kind of an exposing of Twitter and the government's collusion on Capitol Hill this week. So let's go ahead and roll this clip.
The FTC has extraordinarily serious concerns about Twitter's handling of consumers' data, and that there's something going on between congressional Republicans and Elon Musk. Mr. Chairman, Americans can see through this. Musk is helping you out politically, and you're going out of your way to promote and protect him and to praise him for his work. This isn't just a matter of what data was given to these so-called journalists before us now. There are many legitimate questions about where Musk got the financing to buy Twitter. We know this is because at the first hearing, the chairman claimed that big government and big tech colluded to shape and mold the narrative and suppress information and censor Americans. This is a false narrative. We're engaging in false narratives here, and we are going to tell the truth. I yield back.
Gentlelady yields back. I would just point out the consent decree was in our report. We offered your staff also the opportunity to review the FTC letters. You have not come over to review those letters. Third, the idea that I believe both of these individuals who are getting ready to testify, I believe they're both Democrats. The idea that two journalists who
did
happen to be
Democrats. Did you not give that offer at 8 o'clock last
I'm talking
night?
Now. Your time was ended.
Neither of
ago.
Us are in time.
I don't think they're here to help us politically. I think they're here to tell us the truth. And oh, by the way, the first FTC letter to Twitter after the first set of Twitter files, the very first question was, who are the journalists you're talking to? And you guys don't care. You don't care.
You don't care about the 2011 consent decree?
You don't want the American people to see what happened, the full video, transparency. You don't want that, and you don't want two journalists who have been named personally by the Biden administration, FTC, in a letter?
The Biden administration.
And you're saying they're here to help
us.
They're here to tell their story. And frankly, I think they're brave individuals for being willing to come after they've been named in a letter from the Biden FTC.
Is this your question time now?
No, I'm responding to your ridiculous statements you made in your opening statement.
Okay, well, let's get on with it.
Chairman Jordan, Ranking Member Plaskett, members of the Select Committee, thank you for having me today. My name is Matt Taibbi. I've been a reporter for 30 years and a staunch advocate of the First Amendment. Much of that time was spent at Rolling Stone magazine. Ranking Member Plaskett, I'm not a so-called journalist. I've won the National Magazine Award, the I.F. Stone Award for Independent Journalism, and I've written 10 books, including 4 New York Times bestsellers. I'm now the editor of the online magazine Racket on the independent platform Substack. I'm here today because of a series of events that began late last year when I received a note from a source online. It read, "Are you interested in doing a deep dive into what censorship and manipulation was going on at Twitter?" A week later, the first of what became known as the Twitter Files reports came out. To say these attracted intense public interest would be an understatement. My computer looked like a Vegas slot machine, as just the first tweet about the blockage of the Hunter Biden laptop story registered 143 million impressions and 30 million engagements. But it wasn't until a week after the first report, after Michael Schellenberger, Barry Weiss, and other researchers joined the search of the files, that we started to grasp the significance of this story. The original promise of the internet was that it might democratize the exchange of information globally. A free internet would overwhelm all attempts to control information flow, its very existence a threat to anti-democratic forms of government everywhere. What we found in the files was a sweeping effort to reverse that promise and use machine learning and other tools to turn the internet into an instrument of censorship and social control. Unfortunately, our own government appears to be playing a lead role.
You know, the fact that she called him a so-called journalist is the very epitome of how much these people lie. You will take somebody from a left-leaning magazine like the Rolling Stone, a reporter who has been a reporter for 30 years, a New York Times bestseller of 10 books, and say he's a so-called journalist. This is how they lie to you. This is right in front of your face.
Right in front of your face.
So-called journalist. Like it's just some sort of online dude that went through some stuff.
Yeah, so also this week, and you guys can watch this on our second playback on resistancechicks.com, Thomas Massey found out that the CDC actually tracks all tweets of congressmen.
No way.
They track all their tweets, and they were the ones that put pressure on Twitter.
Wow.
For, you know,
misinformation for
when
COVID.
Thomas Massey was talking about natural immunity.
Yeah.
And why did they do that? Because they were getting ready to roll out the vaccine to the military.
Unbelievable.
So we're gonna get more into that. But I have a clip for you. There's actually a case. So Robert Barnes is an attorney. He was an attorney for Trump or for Alex Jones. He was attorney for Alex Jones. He is now actually suing Pfizer on behalf of a whistleblower from inside of Pfizer named Brooke Jackson. Okay, and he lays out the case number one. Why Pfizer should be sued because they withheld information, they withheld the adverse events,
sure.
They withheld the fact that it was not a sterilizing vaccine. So, and the first part of this clip, there's two clips. One, he talks about his Brooke Jackson case. And the first one, he lays out for Trump that he should sue Pfizer.
Yeah.
He should go after Pfizer because the United States government made a deal for Pfizer and Pfizer didn't hold up their end of the bargain. So let's take a look at this.
Even the contract language said there's three things you could deliver. You could deliver something that's a diagnostic tool, you could deliver something that is a treatment tool, or you could deliver something that is a preventative tool. So it distinguished the three. And it said what you're going to deliver us, Pfizer, if you want to get paid, is you're going to deliver us something that is a preventative tool, that it will prevent COVID-19. That was repeated all the way through the contract. That's where if President Trump fully appreciates the Brooke Jackson case, he would understand he was lied to by Pfizer and that it is time for the president to recognize he was lied to by Pfizer, that the American people were lied to by Pfizer, and he should say they should be held accountable for the lies they told, because this is the biggest mass crime by any company in the history of the United States.
Since Pfizer.
Since Pfizer.
Yeah, they're trying to one-up themselves.
Completely. I've always told people that Pfizer makes El Chapo look like a street corner drug dealer. That no Mexican drug cartel could ever imagine having the deleterious and damaging and destructive effect that Pfizer has had. And nothing like what they've done here.
So I represent Brooke Jackson, who is a whistleblower who exposed that the Pfizer clinical trials were riddled not only with error, but with fraudulent and false certifications to the U.S. government. That's the allegation of the suit.
Allegedly.
Yes. Well, she's got a lot of evidence of it. But but what's fascinating is Pfizer has moved to dismiss the case, and their grounds to dismiss, as they repeated in the scheduling conference we had this week, is that it doesn't matter if they submitted fraudulent certifications to the government. It doesn't matter if they submitted false statements under penalty of perjury to the government. It doesn't matter if they lied about the safety and efficacy of these drugs, mislabeled, in my opinion, as vaccines. Because the government was in on it with them. The government knows what's going on, and the government still would have given them the check anyway. So is it really fraud if the government's their co-conspirator? That is, in essence, Pfizer's defense so far to the case. So it'll be an interesting case. The judge said that we would be entitled to discovery about any issue related to the motion to dismiss. And so that covers some territory.
That's an interesting thing. In Quebec, last time I checked, if you make a motion, anytime you file a new affidavit in support of a motion, you get to examine on the affidavit. So if they filed a motion to dismiss, basically saying, look, we're innocent, but even if we're guilty, They authorized to do it. They authorized us to do it. Do you not get to examine them on those new allegations, which were not part of the original proceeding and are new to the file? So
that's what the judge said. Judge said we're entitled to discovery on those issues, which they were going ballistic about. They kept saying, oh, well, we've just moved to dismiss. A motion to dismiss is on the four corners of the pleadings, not their motion to dismiss. Well, their motion to dismiss includes a bunch of extra extrinsic information, documentation, and testimony, which we're absolutely entitled to contest and dispute and to get discovery concerning. So the court recognized the same. Very straightforward, old school judge. He was talking about when he first saw some federal rules, he thought that they were communist back in the day, 30, 35 years ago, but he goes, they really work well. And it involves, disclosure and discovery in a timely material way. So they'll be able to limit some discovery, but not as much as I think they wanted to. And it was a fascinating.
Man, this is it, the plot thickens. And, this kind of goes in line with the Revelation Red Pill Academy that we've been doing, or Revelation Red Pill Wednesdays we've been doing on our show. I want you guys to tune into that. You can watch the past episodes.
Yeah.
But what I see happening is a takeover where we are no longer losing. These people are going to go down. Pfizer is going to go down. The truth is going to come out and be exposed. And I think it's because the body of Christ is rising up and recognizing who they are in the kingdom of God.
Yeah. Who are you in the kingdom of God? You guys can join us at the Revelation Red Pill on Wednesdays and learn about
it. You don't want to miss out. I'm telling you, the feedback that we've had for this new series that we've started every single Wednesday has been phenomenal.
We're on the upswing.
Yes.
I felt it. I know a lot of people. We're talking to Scott Kesterson. I truly feel like we are on the winning side. We are taking ground. Do not allow anything that comes into your life.
Come on.
To bring you negative thoughts, because right now we're taking that ground. It's ours. It's the time in that tug of war where you start to see that it's going in one direction.
Here it comes. Just keep going. They are going to do face plants in that mud pile.
Exactly. So I want you guys to keep, speaking of face planting
into a mud pile.
We do have for you some clips this week of Joe Biden, and we're going to let Michelle do her little commentary. I don't know if our producers want to put our faces up there with her.
Yes,
we do have a special Kamala clip at the end too.
Oh, that's really fun. All right, let's take a look at this week's Best of Biden.
And I had these terrible headaches, was diagnosed with having they had to take the top of my head off a couple times, see if I had a brain.
But it's kind of surprised me. They want to make sure we don't have enough IRS agents. You know those IRS agents we had? They're going to check on the accounts of the super wealthy, which require a lot of accounting, a lot of agents to look at it. They want to get rid of them.
Guess what? You may remember I was running for office at the time, but you all may remember it, that I had a big fight with the former president and maybe future president. Bless me, Father. Anyway, no.
One of the young leaders was talking to me about climate mental health. I said, tell me what's going on with your peers. Climate mental health. And she talked. I said, I think I understand that, but unpack it for me. And she talked about how her peers are thinking about it. One example is, whether when they're ready, could they start a family? Yes. Worried about what that would mean and the stress of it. They were talking about it in terms of their peers trying to figure out, they're going to have to get a job and they're going to have to make a living. But what can they do and how can they adapt the education that they're having now to their activism?
What's that? I don't even know what she was trying to say. Climate, mental health, and having babies, and activism?
And how do we get a job and keep fighting for the climate at the same time? Because we know we're consumers and we're damaging the climate.
Oh my goodness.
But my favorite part was, I do believe God got a hold
of Joe Biden.
He said the former president and maybe future president.
He's like, he could be the sign of the cross.
He could be the future president.
And then the air was sucked out of the room at that point. All
could
right.
you imagine?
No, I love it.
I was
it.
Like, what was this?
And then he said his head taken off to find out if he had a brain. I don't think that was ever confirmed, Joe.
He's whispering about the IRS agents.
All right, but what is really serious is you want to go to the Brighteon store, brighteonstore.com, and use promo code CHICKS. They've got a bunch of things on sale this week, including their silver gel. That was a Freudian slip there too. The silver gel, the first aid gel tube, has so much in it. It's not just silver. I was seeing it had oregano oil. oil in it.
Oh, wow.
And three different types of silver. So there's there. That's
that
on the website.
That is so good for wounds to
the
heal.
Ranger and buckets are there on sale
Ranger
this week.
Ranger buckets.
And iodine is on sale this week. I use it literally every single day. You don't want to miss. There's so much there. BrighteonStore.com. Use promo code CHICKS and you'll be supporting this network and bringing shows like ours to you every single week. Speaking of every single week, we'll see you next Friday right here on Brighteon.tv, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We love you. God loves you. God bless. Remember, it's not just a conspiracy theory if it's actually the truth.